We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Light Years Podcast, we are back. Sam Esfandiari, Andy Liu, we're doing so well on Christmas Day that we record about 15 minutes. Sam, just stop the pod and say, hey, listen, have not recorded a single second. So we're running it back, Sam. We're running it back. We are as bad as the Warriors right now.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What's going on.
I wanted to come in ripping the Warriors about being complacent. And in my pod games, as complacent as them, so I can't say shit.
I think you tried to kick the Jets off in the second quarter, and kind of like the Warriors, and nothing happened. Just as ugly as them. One of the worst games just we've seen in a while. Given that they were already playing bad, I think if the Warriors were playing well, we'd look at each other and kind of be like, okay, you know what? We'll throw this away. This is fine. But it's one of those games where it's like, all right, you haven't been playing that great for weeks here, even though you've been winning. And then you get demolished by not only LeBron and the Lakers, but after LeBron got hurt, you got destroyed. So it's
that was the worst.
Explain.
That was the worst part. It was they weren't playing well when LeBron got hurt, and then they played worse. And it's hard to pinpoint it to anything other than effort. Like Steve Kerr basically said it. He says, you know, I just want to see him to play like they care. And I don't really know how I can come up with a different take than that. You know, it's like they just didn't show up. You know, it's like they're going to get outplayed certain nights, and that's just kind of the nature of basketball. But like they're beat to every ball. It's just nothing there. You know, it's lazy.
How is that even possible? You know what I mean? Like, what were you saying? Like, they've won a lot of games. They may not ever have had it. This is not the first time, right? Pre-KD, this has happened before. It's like, even when they won one title, there were games where it'd be like, hey, we can kind of mail it in, and then we'll come back in the third or fourth quarter. Nowadays, I think it's not that teams have caught up to them. It's I think teams kind of know that, and they kind of know what the Warriors do, and they extend that effort through the entire game. So even when the Warriors, like today, they got the lead down to two. The Lakers weren't phased. It was one of those things where it's, all right, it's landslide time. The Warriors are going to go up by 20. Like, that hasn't happened in a while. When that happens, the other team counterpunches now, and it's one of those things where when they counterpunch, I don't think that the Warriors have – they kind of respect that. They don't think that that's actually going to happen because it never has. But the league is kind of used to doing that at this point, and now they come back. LeBron gets hurt, and all of a sudden they're back down by nine. right? After Lance Stevenson freaking shoots a three.
Well, so two separate things. One, I do think the leaks kind of caught up to the Warriors. Like, I don't think they've caught up to them in, you know, the sense of it's even. But I do think they've gained ground on them in sense of, you know, when the Warriors broke onto the scene as like a great team, they were taking more threes than everyone. Now they're kind of middle of the pack with threes. So other teams are kind of, they've caught up to like the shot selection thing. And, you know, the Warriors don't have, let's say, the intellectual edge on them in that capacity, but the Warriors still have the talent edge. There's no team you can ever say has more talent than the Warriors as presently constructed if everyone's healthy, right?
Let's talk about talent, because Klay Thompson, when he's shooting 31% from three outside of that big game, and Draymond won't shoot any threes at all. Where is the talent level?
Games before this too. That's an interesting question. So, for all the four All-Stars things, Warriors are gonna have two All-Stars this year. Maybe Klay gets voted in, but he shouldn't. Like, it's very hard to say that Klay is one of the 12 best players in the competitive West this year, right? You agree with me there, right? That's the thing with them, which makes it weird. I don't really know what to make of Klay, like, because as terrible as he's been, it's not like there's a clear sign of drop off in his game. Like, there's nothing wrong with his shot. Definitely his defense hasn't dropped off. He's playing with the same effort he's always played with. And if anything, I feel like his defense is better. Although maybe I'm just kind of overrating it because his offense has been so bad. So you're like looking for a positive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, how about this? I think for the level of IQ that the Warriors have, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and pretty much last year, they had a whole host of bench players, Sean Livingston as well, David West, high IQ players. Have you ever thought of Klay Thompson as being one of those players, right? Kind of, maybe, but not at that level.
He's a play finisher. You're right.
Right. And so when he, I guess for some reason, now that he's struggling for 3 months now, he's not gonna be like, he's not gonna impact the game in a high IQ way. So really he kind of compounds that struggle with more, I think, for the first time ever in our fandom, Warriors fandom, we're a little bit frustrated with how Klay has been playing in the regular season, because it's like, why are you shooting mid-range twos? Why are you dribbling in to shoot it? And why aren't you just kind of shooting threes? But it's also tough because they're running them off the line. What is there for Klay to do, especially when they're kind of just running normal plays that the Utah Jazz has seen for the last 5 years? This is not anything that they haven't seen before.
So that's definitely part of it. Like, they're running the same offense, and any team with like a certain level of talent will eventually figure it out, right?
Or good coaching.
Yeah. I mean, any, just the semblance of like, I want to beat them. But let's get to the Laker game today. The first thing that jumped out to me was how much Kevon Looney had the ball. And that was just like, that's vintage Warriors just running the offense. And, you know, a good defensive team is going to be like, let's funnel the ball to Looney, because would I rather have Steph Curry or KD have the ball or Looney? You know, like, it's pretty obvious what the answer is, right?
So you're right though. That's the offense. Like, get it to the open guy, right? Just kind of funnel the ball around until a guy gets the ball that's open.
Yeah, and it's obnoxious, and then it leads to Steph or KD or Klay, or, you know, pretty much those three getting the ball back in less than optimal positions, and then they have to take bad shots. But I don't even think. I don't even want to put that as a blame. That's more of a season-long theme as opposed to, like, tonight. Like, tonight the Lakers just wanted it more. They literally just played harder than the Warriors. And credit to them for it, right? But it's I don't know what else to say with it at this point.
Do you think that like the Michael Jordan Bulls were a team that were okay with, because the Warriors are okay with, they don't necessarily care that much about losing this game. And the thing with the dynasty is that it doesn't matter if you lose these games because you've already won championships, right? And you know that you can win in May. The Lakers don't know if they can win in April or May or June. The Warriors already know. So they're okay with losing it. My question I'm more interested in was, were dynasties and great teams before, maybe even the Shaq Kobe Lakers, were they okay with losing it? I think the Shaq Kobe Lakers were. I don't know if the Bulls were. But that's where Bulls I would kind of push back.
I think that's where Jordan separated himself. The worst record they had in the Jordan years was 62 wins. But he was the type of player who kind of like the minute that there was, you know, kind of that unrest in the game had to take over, and he had the type of team that kind of followed that lead, you know. But that's not who the Warriors are at this point.
That's who Draymond is, right? But he's not that offensive player. So
Draymond's
really
not talented.
Doesn't matter,
to do that, right?
Right.
So
right.
I mean, that's that's what we're talking about here. But let's focus on the Warriors. I mean, the frustrating thing of the Warriors this year has been just Steph off ball, one, and two, just general laziness. The first one, they're kind of interconnected in my opinion. You know, like Steph could just kind of demand the ball and do more, but he doesn't, right? So it comes back to the singular point, which is what's going to get these guys going, you know?
The answer is always them shooting better. Like, Steve Kerr's not going to change anything that he's doing. There's no way. Unless KD comes out here in the postgame. We're recording at 8 o'clock, so the postgame's happening right now. Unless he comes out here and he's like, hey, like, I need the ball. Steph and I need the ball. We're not going to run this offense. It doesn't matter anymore. I don't think that's going to happen. And so they're going to keep running what they're running. So it's just a matter of Klay's got to make open shots. Right, Steph missed open shots today, but it really is. That's it. Like, Draymond's got to hit something, and he did the last two games. But this was a game that was on national TV, and he's a guy that usually shows up for national TV games, and he didn't show up tonight. So it's a matter of those two guys, because like you said, those two guys aren't all-stars right now. They're not all-stars this season, and it's great that you got two MVP level players. But if you're running an offense that kind of hampers what KD and Steph are able to do, then that kind of hurts everyone else, right? Especially when Klay shooting 30% from three and Draymond shooting, I don't know what he's shooting, but right. So that makes it tough, and they'll win against any team right now. I don't think it really matters in a series, but it's frustrating when it's a Christmas game on national television against LeBron and you throw up this kind of effort.
So let me throw this out there. Since Draymond's been back from injury, Steph's averaging under 4 assists a game. And you watch the film, he's generally off ball. No way around that. Tonight, 5 of 17, 5 assists. Watch the game, you kind of see the same thing, which is he kind of gets the ball coming off a curl. I mean, he's basically playing a classic two-guard role, right?
Yep.
Nothing
new.
And it just makes you... The Warriors are at their best when he's the aggressor, when he's the one who's the quote-unquote head of the snake, what Tyronn Lue say the whole time. Warriors are most dangerous with Steph. You got to cut off the head of the snake. Steph's the head of the snake. At what point does Kerr have to take responsibility for forcing that? Because all I'm seeing is... And then this brings a second point. Friend of the pod, who won't come on the pod. Ethan Strauss. I mean, he even put in his most advanced scout piece, which was, you know, the hardest thing about scouting the Warriors is they don't run plays. They just kind of live off of Steph's creativity. But that creativity doesn't show itself if he doesn't have the ball in his hands. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole idea that, like, the Warriors are at their best when Steph is improvising only matters if Steph is improvising. So... At what point does Kerr have to get involved and be like, we're not at playing to our strengths. You guys are playing for your numbers. You're more concerned with getting your assists up and like letting Steph run in circles to get your assists than playing our best way. Or is he playing it right? Which is like, you know, I'm going to just let you embarrass yourself until you realize you guys are not playing the right way.
That he is okay doing that, right? He's very comfortable doing that. But the problem is that you got to put the players in somewhat the right positions, but also the players have got to play to that expectations. And those guys, that's kind of the dual problem, because Andre Iguodala shows up, but I mean,
we got one of the three Iguodala good games in regular season.
But you're looking at it and you're like, it's Steph is always like this. He's not gonna come out here and take the ball and shoot. And so the Lakers know
that's
that.
That's why he's not the GOAT.
That he knows this, because LeBron knows what to do. It's, hey, get the ball out of Steph's hands. Steph will kind of just disappear because he'll never want it. He'll never want the ball like that because he's comfortable playing in a team setting, unlike other players that kind of ruin that team setting, right? So it's that little like weird dichotomy that he plays. But the thing is, when that happens, Steve Kerr is all too fucking happy to be like, hey, Kevon Looney, go ahead and get the ball with you know, 2 feet away from the rim and just get blocked by Zubac, whoever the fuck Zubac is, right? So it's like, what are we – like, it's great. You get guys open, but at the even if you score, even if you get a Sean Livingston eight-footer, it's at the expense of Steph's rhythm, KD's rhythm. And then all of a sudden you have all these guys that are, you know, shooting and maybe making weird shots, and Steph hasn't shot the ball in 5 minutes because you want all these role players to get shots. And what matters more? Right, role players or Steph Curry getting rhythm, right? It's not even close. So then that's the problem. That's always been the problem.
Right.
But we
both agree that this is basically, I mean, it's like old Phil Jackson stuff where it's kind of like, I'm going to let you figure it out on your own, right?
Yep. But when here's the thing. Kobe wasn't afraid to just take it. Right, and just be like, yo, fuck this play.
No, right? Actually, Phil acknowledged in his book, and you know, anyone who watched the Lakers would say, like, his biggest coaching was like trying to calm Comey down to like, come on, man, like, you know, you don't need to take it over because it's 8-2 in the first quarter.
Ooh, that's a great point. That's a great point because, I was tweeting this the other day because, hey, exactly what you're saying. You don't need that type of mentality from the first second of the game, right? But you need that type of mentality.
That's the Westbrook thing, you know, where it's just like,
exactly.
you get over aggressive off the first, like the first feeling of conflict, right?
No, that's you're exact, because it's like you don't need. Just play into that team effort, right? But kind of you have that option when it really matters. But, you know, the other thing is, the other part of this is, and I kind of go back to this, it's freaking December 25th, right? Does it really matter? Are we just frustrated because it's like, shit, we're watching this team do it again. You know, they already won 3 out of 4. We kind of want to see them play well, especially against LeBron and the Lakers. Or we just kind of like projecting what we want to see? Because this, at the end of the day, you think in the locker room right now, you think Steph, Draymond, you think those guys are like, oh, you know what? We kind of need to change things up. The Lakers are better than us. We need to change this offense.
Right,
like,
right.
There's no way that, right? There's no way that's going on. So it almost feels like it's just more of, we make this game significant because it's Christmas. And it's against LeBron in New Jersey, so we want that to happen. But I think, like, to scale it back, come March, come April, it probably won't matter. And that's kind of – like, that's what happened last season.
So,
and I think
that,
this season it's worse. It's a little worse, but it might not matter either.
Isn't that kind of a sign that the run's coming to an end, though? Where it's like every year
– oh, God, it's getting dark.
It's more of a grind. It's like less of – it's less fun. It's more.
It's not fun. They're not having fun.
No, they're not.
There's no way.
It's mostly, you know, just get me to April healthy.
Yeah.
And
It's not fun. And that's what Cousins was here for, right? And I think Cousins' return got kind of pushed back. I do think that they wanted him to be back kind of by now. And I think it may be pushed back to like January, late January at some point.
Yeah, I think it's pushed back to February at this point.
Yeah, and I do think that they kind of expected and needed that to be the catalyst to more energy and more fun for this season. So I think they're kind of stuck in a weird holding pattern. And it also doesn't help that Draymond, not that it would have been better without it, but Draymond kind of blew up on KD as well and kind of got that whole thing going. And so the weird tension got even weirder, and I don't think necessarily they've recovered all the way from that.
Well, I just don't think they care at this point. I mean, like, I don't know why we expend all this energy when they don't expend this energy. So let's get into the questions.
We've got questions. That is perfect.
We've got a lot of questions here. So we're going to start with friend of the pod, Kirk Henderson. Do you need Luka Doncic? Yes.
Fat Steph. Fat Steph, yes.
I like the Fat Steph is a great nickname. Luka's awesome. I'm a fan. I'm not looking for reasons to, you know, create conspiracy theories about Luka because I'm secure in my adulthood. But
people really hate Luka Doncic. It's really fucking annoying. Like people,
no, weird people online make some Luka points. People do not care. Most Americans do not know who Luka Doncic is. I can go talk to my cousin and he won't know who Luka Doncic is. So let's make sure we don't overrate what we see on our team.
Oh, man. That's fantastic. All right, we got an off-the-wall question here, Sam. What's the best light beer?
Ooh, because light beer is generally not the beer of choice.
I don't know. It is for me. So I either go super light, super dark, but nothing in the middle, because it's either hard alcohol and then super light beer.
You're more of a cocktail kind of man. I know that you're not an old man like me who just like has two beers with a friend and it's like, oh, that was a really fun night, you know. Best light beer. This is a tough one. I don't know, what do you got?
My dad loves? My dad loves Rolling Rock. I don't even know if that's a light beer. It's just shitty beer
It's a lager, so we'll count it.
For some reason, whenever I drink like two or three of them, I'm buzzed. Like, I don't even get it. I can never chug beer. That's the thing. See, but, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was going to think of another question while you think of light beers.
Oh, so I'm kind of an, you know, heavy IPA, pale ale kind of guy, because Andy's going to make fun of me. But none of those are light, so I don't really know what the answer is.
You're a sophisticated beer drinker. That's the problem.
I'm just an old man. Like, seriously, when you get to, like, the non-party stage of your life, you're like, you want to have something hoppy so you can, like, claim your wild. And you're like, man, I had this. There's so many hops in it, you know.
so many hops in it. There's a Draymond question that I liked in here, and now I forgot.
Just a little bit.
Oh, here we go. Lightyear's podcast, pretty simple. Is Draymond done? Obviously, the answer is no. But let's talk about Draymond for a second.
Yeah, my thing is, until I see Draymond's defense drop off in a meaningful playoff series, he's not done. Like, what bothers me about Draymond analysis online is he's an all-star and why the Warriors are unfair until he sucks. And then I have to hear players who are just completely inferior to him be compared to him. You know what I mean? like Lonzo Ball. But
by the way, another two Twitter followers that said that, but we must extrapolate. Five. Classic Twitter.
Yeah, but you're right. His offense has got worse. There's no way around it. I don't, you know, we have theories about why, but end of the day, if he plays like he played the two games before this game, actually, if he plays like he has, including the Laker game, totally fine with that. What you can't have with Draymond is those games where he refuses to shoot the ball. That's where he's a problem.
Yeah, it's for a guy that talks that much with that much confidence in himself, it's hard to see because it's kind of like I don't know, like someone that's kind of past his prime, right? Like, you can take any great basketball player or maybe just anybody, right? One of your friends that used to be great at something. And there's that moment where they kind of lose it. And they start to, you see, like, in their eyes, it shifts a little bit. Like, hey, he's not who he was, and he kind of knows it. And it's, no matter how much of a jackass that person is, you kind of feel bad for him, right? I think this happens to a lot of great basketball players where they kind of lose a step or three, and then all of a sudden they're not that good. With Draymond, it's like you see that type of confidence when he used to be an actual good three-point shooter, and then now you're kind of looking at him, and the last two games were all right. But today, he had this one wide-open shot. He takes two dribbles in, shoots like a weird 8-foot floater, and it just clanks off the front rim. And it's just hard to see because it's like, damn. Like, for a guy that's so great on defense, he talks so much shit, and he backs all that shit talking up. To see him do that, it's not a matter of, hey, is he going to be able to do it in the future? It's just kind of hard to watch that, I don't want to say downfall, but at least a kind of a downside. And you can kind of see kind of what we all expected, right? Like, he may not be that valuable 3 years from now, 2 years from now.
Yeah, he might not age well. So
hard, man.
This is a question. Kerr's kind of a player's coach. He kind of goes through the Phil Jackson philosophy of, like, let players figure it out on the floor. And it's completely logical, and I agree with the logic in general, where, you know, you can't micromanage players at all times, because at some point you're going to get into a game where, you know, you can't just call timeout every 10 seconds, right? But is he letting it go too far with guys like Draymond, where it's like, at some point you got to kind of rein him in, especially in December? Like, do the reining in now, so come springtime, there's some better expectations. My thought would be, you know, I go back and forth on it, but it's kind of like you kind of lose your voice with guys at a certain point.
Ooh. Are you saying that about Draymond, or are you saying that about Steve Kerr?
I mean, they're in year six. So, year six, you can't, like... It's year six.
Shit.
No, you're right. It's year five. But you can't, like... It the same principle stands. You can't, you know... You can't try to reinvent the wheel at this point. It's like a long-term relationship. You can't just, like, walk into it and be like, from now on, we're doing it this way. You know, like, that doesn't work.
Yeah, you know, it kind of goes back to what we've been saying all along. Like, give these guys a March-April game that matters against, like, the Utah Jazz, and we'll see what happens. A good one here that I want to talk about, because it's kind of how we think of the Warriors, I think, is a little bit different from other fan bases. Count on Vic. I got a question. Are you mad, or are you mad about the Warriors? You know what's you know what's interesting? I think the way that Warriors fans kind of think of this, we don't necessarily blame other players for kind of the Warriors struggling when they do struggle. Like, people ask, like, hey, is Draymond okay? Like, hey, how's Klay doing? But they're never like, and you know what? Like, Klay's kind of trash. Like, he can't, you know, he's actually not a really good shooter. Or Draymond, like, he's not, like, what does he actually do on offense outside of taking KD's touches, right? Nothing like people who are fans of Russ and fans of, like, LeBron. For the Warriors, it's more of like,
he's not help. No help.
Yeah. No help. Like, that's what other people, like, default to, right? Oh, get these guys more help. With the Warriors, it's like, all right, how can we actually improve ourselves? And it's always more of like, all right, like, where do we need to get guys in good positions? What does Steve Kerr has to do to get them there, rather than, you know what, Klay actually sucks? I always find that a fascinating difference between how, let's say, Warriors fans talk about the Warriors and, like, you know, let's say LeBron fans talk about his teams, right? It's always interesting.
Well, you know, LeBron fans, he's the GOAT. If you know, filter everything down to the criteria needed to make him the GOAT. But part of it is, you know, the Warriors, what the hell else do the Warriors need? You know, like, that no one's going to buy, like, man, like, this, it's always annoys me. It's like, oh, Boogie's going to give them a post presence they haven't had. I'm like, shut up, man. Like, they're any struggles they've had the last 4 years haven't been because of they're lacking a post presence. You know what I mean? Like, Houston didn't take him to seven because they didn't have someone to throw it into the post. Houston took him to seven because they played some BS ball for multiple games. You know, like, they have, outside of maybe 2016 with injuries, they haven't been outmatched talent wise, you know? So they can never complain about, like, you know, the talent complaints are like that's something you make when it's like, man, Damian Lillard really needs someone else to play with him before we know how good he is. You know?
Right. It's and the other thing is, the Warriors wouldn't be here if they didn't play the way they do, right? So for those that have been listening for like the first 20 minutes, let's talk about this. The Warriors are the Warriors because they play this type of offense. They share the ball, right? You remember that 2015-2016 team. You remember you remember that first KD year team. You remember that 73-win team. They got there because Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Leandro Barbosa, Andrew freaking Bogut, those guys were touching the ball every possession. They were in rhythm, and they got the ball to Steph's hands, and he was always in rhythm. That's why they beat down the league every single season. And on defense, they played that switching defense. And that switching defense, you cannot play when you have Zaza Pachulia or DeMarcus Cousins, right? You can't play that type of defense. But they could do that because they had Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, right? So it's like we are now annoyed at the Warriors because they are running this system into the ground. But keep in mind that they also got there because they essentially reinvented how basketball was seen or played because they did something somewhat unconventional. It's just, the thing is, as you said 20 minutes ago, everybody is doing it. So what's the counterpunch? The counterpunch is not dribbling in for an 18-foot pull-up fucking mid-range shot. That's not the counterpunch.
When Jarebko did that in the second quarter, I was like, oh, yes. The minute he did that, I think I texted you. I'm like, I'm getting drunk.
That's another shot. That's another whole beer because of that, right? So that the counterpunch is honestly is just what Houston does. That's the counterpunch, right? The Warriors have better players,
or what the Spurs did for years, which was, we're just gonna be better at it than you. We're gonna execute and trust that over 48 minutes we're better at it than you.
And if they do that, they will be, right?
Yeah. All right, we got another one here from Suppets Lizzie, regular listener of the pod. Will anyone in the media ask Kerr why Steph is a two guard now?
Oh God, we gotta send that one over to Anthony Slater. KD wants to run the offense.
Yeah, and then Draymond has to run the offense because he can't play off ball. I've mentioned it on this pod before, but like the reality is that you can function with two guys who want the ball in their hands, but you can't have three. And year one, KD was off ball, and it's just kind of a difficult balance, particularly since Draymond can't function off ball. Like in an ideal setting, it's Steph and KD, right? But what do you do with Draymond? And I mean, Draymond's too good to not, you know, incorporate. So it goes that way. I kind of feel like this is one of those, Kerr doesn't like how much he's off ball, but it goes with the figure it out on your own strategy. I'll get upset if it's happening in May, of course, but
which it has happened before.
Yes.
It may. Yeah, I mean, that goes back to, we'll probably talk about this next week as well. We've got a very special guest for those that are going to be subscribing and rating 5 stars. We've got a very special guest next week. But yeah,
only those guests.
Only those. For those, we're not opening this pot up to them. Yeah, I mean, the Draymond question is pretty... Damn, it's gotten loud this year, though. You know, we didn't even think about it before the season. And goddamn, like, not even halfway through the season. Year.
But, I mean, we kind of let it go because he had a strong playoffs defensively. But it gets to a point where, like, I mean, what do you do if he's not that versatile on offense, you know, then all of a sudden it's a different conversation about his value, even if he is the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
And here's what you have to think about. The Milwaukee game where he didn't play and they played their best defense of the season. I mean, no one's going to pretend Draymond's not the best defensive player on the team. But if they can play that level of defense without him, it makes you start questioning things, right? Because they can't play that level of offense without Steph. They can't.
Yeah, it's kind of up to KD.
It is. I mean, because
it's kind of up to KD.
So that's what makes it messy, right?
And that question never ends. Question will never end until June. You got another one? We got a Bernie Bro question.
I got a good one here. What happened to our centers setting solid screens? This isn't a good question. This is just a nerd question.
No, let's take this one because there's not a level of just nastiness.
Miss Zaza.
But Bogut, David West, fucking Anderson. No, I'm kidding. But there was a level of just kind of, hey, we're going to just smack a dude coming across the paint, which is kind of like very 90s, very old school of me, even though I was 5 years old in the 90s. But like, you need that toughness, right? Like when somebody comes in or when somebody's trying to go around the screen or whatever it is, you want that person to just get whacked, right? Just to let them know like you're there. Just let them know. Even if you draw a foul, even if they hit, doesn't matter. Next time, they're shook. They think twice. Kevin Looney's not going to do that. Jordan Bell's not going to do that. Damian Jones is definitely not going to do that. So who's really that guy on this team, right? Maybe DeMarcus Cousins when he's back. Draymond Green is definitely that guy. But then he picks up three fouls and he's kind of gone. And so they don't have that. I don't want to say
it's tough, just a space eater. It's just a space tough. Eater. Like, any way you put it, Zaza's huge. Like, he's a thick.
Just a painful dude.
He's a thick dude. Zaza's thick. Sorry. Looney's not thick. This would be your pod takeaway for the night. Looney's too skinny. He's not thick.
The entire Warriors are too skinny. Like, Steph, Clay, KD. But who? When somebody plays the Warriors, does anyone feel the Warriors? Like, that's another thing. Like, no. Do you feel like you get hit or hurt after?
And
like,
it's an underrated role, particularly on a team like the Warriors, who are best optimized going small. Like, because, you know, no one wants to play the Zaza role because you're ultimately the goon. But they need someone on that roster. They were hoping Damian Jones would be it. And he was up and down for the first month. He wasn't really that guy. And now he's hurt, so they just don't have any options, right? But I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, it's kind of a big deal in the sense of you're just wearing down your playoff guys. Like, you know, Looney's probably trying and Draymond are playing a lot harder right now than they should play. But I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to cry for the Warriors because they have to try in December as opposed to other teams, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There are a lot of questions, dude. There's like 50 replies to you. Holy sh! We can kind of go all day on this one. You want a nerdy question or
whatever you want.
Got a Livingston one, so a bench question. Why does Livingston keep getting minutes over Cook when Livingston can't guard any backup point guard? Should Kerr go back to his old rotations of letting Steph play the entire first and third? And then there's an is Draymond done question. Damn, this guy wants to know it all.
All right.
Quinn Cook.
So Livingston plays because he can guard multiple positions. Even though he's not good at guarding quick guards, you can still put Livingston out there in any playoff game because he could switch things. He's never really guarding the point guard anyway. Whereas Quinn Cook, you know, Quinn Cook's 4'10". So it's not happening. What was the second part of that question?
At this point, who knows?
I mean, it's Quinn Cook and it didn't really matter. Quinn Cook, you know.
That's how I. You know what I? You know I think that I kind of disagree. You know why? Because for me, it's like in season 5 of this, right? Who gives a shit about defense? You know you're going to be able to play it in the postseason.
No, that's the thing. They're terrible at defense right now. That's actually, I would agree with Kerr on this. Like, the number one focus should be figuring out how the hell to play defense. Like, get, because the Warriors are at their best when they turn defense into offense. So
I think that they're at their best when they can score and it gives them energy on defense to fly around. Like, I just think, and it's both ways. At the end of the day, I do think
that's
like,
that's an interesting trick, chicken or the egg, because I feel like their best offense comes in transition, and it comes off of defensive, you know, stops and steals and all that sort of stuff.
And my thing is just like, give them some spacing. They make a couple shots. Guys are a little bit more energized, right? And it's just like the game is a little bit more fun. I mean, these guys talk so much about joy, and we really haven't seen them play with joy for almost 2 years. And so it's like, well, I take that back. Last year, there were parts of it. But this year, it's kind of just been even a larger slog. And so it's like, just kind of let these guys just shoot, get some spacing in there, make the game a little bit easier offensively, so that on defense it doesn't feel like, oh my god, they actually absolutely have to make a stop here, or you know, they won't be able to score on the other end, and then all of a sudden the team scores two or three times and you don't score, then that bench unit gets a little bit problematic. And so that for me, it's kind of just let these guys have a little bit more freedom on offense. But again, kind of goes back to Steve Kerr. Are we really going to ever get that? Probably not. Because it's always going to be, you know, what you can do to play that switch lineup, and on offense, what you can do in that offensive system. Next question. Do you have something? I have one, but
go for it.
What's the most effective boost to get to be able to laugh off another Christmas loss?
Okay, this is the last question of the night.
You know,
Johnny Walker, Black Label is the way to go. That's, I said that way too quick. Like, I thought about it.
Hey, so do you do no ice or do you do ice?
I can go either way. It really depends on the mood, but generally I like to have one cube of ice.
How old do you have to be before you stop chasing hard alcohol with soda or something, or water?
It depends. If the liquor is expensive enough that you shouldn't shoot it, that's the general rule of thumb.
That's a great answer. I had never thought about that. I think about a year or two ago, I stopped. I'll always shoot it, but I stopped chasing. That's when I stopped, and that's when I realized that you can't get hung over if you stop chasing. I think the people enjoy these alcohol tips, man. I think we're just trying to keep everyone safe. After Warriors lost by 30 on Christmas, the people are going to enjoy this day after, you know. So, yeah,
so we'll be back next week with a normal pod, with a special guest.
Oh, the people are gonna love this one. Should we give them a hint, or should we just kind of tease it, or what? I mean, should we just know?
A collaborative pod.
Hey, for those that kind of have listened to the end here, make sure to subscribe Light Years Podcast. Tell everyone else you know to subscribe to Light Years Podcast. Rate 5 stars. Check out all the other Blue Wire podcasts, but check ours obviously first. And yeah, like Sam said, tune in next week. We're going to be collaborating with a very special guest, and we'll see you then. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.